Greetings, I'm E.T. Epic from VU. This soundbite is intended for mature audiences only, so viewer discretion is advised.
Motherfuckers.
Drop it.
Hey everybody, welcome to V Universe, the VU community podcast. Here I, a guy named Raph, a fairly prolific VUser, talk about whatever is on my mind. However, I'm never alone. I bring other people from VU.com, thus the community bullshit. Anyway, this week I have Steve.
Hi there, I'm friggin' Italian on VU.
And also I have Adam.
Hey, I'm Adam Jennings on VU.
Okay, welcome. Welcome, gentlemen. I hope you're doing all right. If not, fuck it. We're going to keep going. I don't care. I know. I'm so nice. In the past couple weeks, there were a couple updates to VU, and I felt like, you know, why not talk about them? Because they've been changing VU a lot since the new year started. You know, when launch a new VU, they took away the people tab a bit. What do you guys think about, like, the recent update with, like, taking away invisible questions, invisible notifications? Did you guys have a problem with that?
Okay, I'll go first. I am glad that those 8 questions I had pending that were never there are gone. I am glad. I still have 2 invisible notifications that are pending, and they come from March 27th from Cyberdrome, and we'll get into him later. I'm glad that those record questions are gone. The only thing is it's weird. It's like, if I go into it now, and I just look at my questions, my count actually drops to 0, even though I still have, like right now I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 questions pending, but my record icon actually says I have nothing pending.
Huh, it's weird. Yeah, like I had a few questions that were kind of sitting there and doing nothing, really. They were just like, hey, you know what, we're gonna tease you with a number. Set your goals high, only so we can crash you down low, just like gas prices. Adam, have you had any problems with, like, the invisible questions and whatnot?
I haven't had invisible questions. What I've had is the same question that won't go away. So I've...
Oh, yeah.
I've had maybe 4 or 5 questions where you sit there and you think... I mean, most of the time, I will just click record and record the response straight away.
Yeah.
And whatever crap comes out of my mouth is what you receive in your ear. And but sometimes, you know, you look at a question and you think, actually, that needs a little bit more planning, or you might want to do something a bit special, or you might want to just think about what your response is going to be. And it just happened that these 4 or 5 questions were those. So I left them in the inbox or the record box or whatever you want to call it for a while. And then when I finally had time and headspace to go back and record the answers, I recorded them, carried on recording other ones, all fine. And then the next day I'd come back and the majority of the ones that I'd recorded the previous day were showing up in my video responses, along with the 4 or 5 that had repeat themselves. But then when I went back into the now what is called record, they were still there. So I did them again because I figured, oh, maybe they didn't record, maybe I didn't save them, maybe something happened with the connection or what have you. And this was about the time when I started to get a lot more questions. I used to get maybe 1 or 2 a week, and then suddenly I started getting a big chunk more. By no means the same leads as you, Raph, or Sophie Bohax, or anyone like that, but certainly much more in comparison to how many I used to get. So because of work commitments, I was unable to keep up with reducing that countdown to 0 every single day. So I don't know what has caused it, whether it was me not completing all of them, maybe it was a bad connection or whatever, but there are these 4 or 5 questions, some of them have gone now, that doesn't matter how many times you record the response to it,
they won't go away.
Yeah. I haven't had the invisible questions or invisible notifications, but I'm kind of imagining they might be the same bug or a limit, you know, linked together in some way.
Yeah. I haven't had any invisible question or invisible notifications, but I have had invisible questions about 4. Somehow I don't know how I haven't gotten like 20. Because some questions I'll answer and then they don't go away, and then the next day they'll go away after I answer it a day ago. I don't know why, but so far it seems like they fixed it. The only problem is I can't see my total questions that I have right now. You know, the new record box, or whatever you want to call it, inbox. It says I have 60 new questions, but before that I had 50 new questions. And then I don't remember how many I had before that. And most of them are, according to my emails, open questions, so...
Right, okay.
I have no idea how many I have. Because it just says, oh, you have 60 new messages.
Wow.
I follow a lot of people, so it's like, oh, hey,
yeah.
new open question. Yay, I get to answer all of these at some point.
In fact, I actually stopped following somebody because they asked so many open questions.
Yeah.
I was like 30 a day. I was like, where do you come up with this crap? I was like, you know what? I mean... I don't remember Raph, but I actually asked you, like, you know, I need more questions, you know, who else can I follow? And this was a while back, and you gave me a couple of suggestions, and a few other people gave me suggestions. And all of a sudden, I followed this one person, and I was like, oh my god, this is too much. This person, I don't know where they come up with this stuff, but this person was like 30 questions a day. And I would like, you know, sometimes I'll go like 2-3 days without answering, so... I'll come back 3 days later, and it's like, I have almost 100 questions. I'm like, I can't do this.
Yeah,
it's impossible.
There are times where I go like a week or a week and a half without answering, and I follow a lot of people too. It's just like, oh shit, I have about 70 to 150 questions. And ever since I joined VU, like back in the beta, back in, I think, March 2011, yeah. It was February 2011. I always... sit down and answer every single question. It's like OCD. It's like something OCD for me.
Exactly.
I have to answer
exactly.
Every goddamn question I have.
I do too.
I get yeah. I mean, I might get up to go to the bathroom or get something to eat, but I will come back with the webpage open.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, you have to. Yeah. I'm completely the same. It's always been the same for me. And like I say, when it was, you know, one or two questions a week, it's totally manageable. But I mean, I've now got 170 questions waiting for me, and I can't sit there and answer them all in one go. I just don't, you know, unless I click record and say yes, click save, and click record and say no, click save, you know. I kind of feel like if someone's bothered to ask me a question, because most of those aren't, I have to say, most of them aren't open questions either. So they require, you know, people have thought about them, or at the very least, people have taken the time to write in a question. And I kind of feel like I don't want to, it feels rude in a way. I mean, that's probably just me being terribly British, but it feels rude not to answer someone's question. I mean, I can't actually think, have either of you guys ever not answered a question?
I don't think I have. There are plenty of questions I haven't answered. Like,
for me, if I don't answer a question, it's usually an open question. At least Raph probably calls them, Eyewitness News ask stuff all the time.
Oh, yeah. I recently started following them.
And, every now and then it's like, you know what? Yeah, I don't have a really good answer for this, you know, whatever. And so I'll just propose no.
Yeah, like, there are times where I get, like, questions from them, like, oh, what do you think about this parenting strategy? And
yeah,
I'm like,
exactly.
I don't have kids! I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just got one from them. What is the most extreme way you've tried to lose weight? Some brides-to-be are using feeding tubes to shed pounds. Post your comments for Eyewitness News.
I know, right? And I, like...
I've never tried.
What? Sorry, Adam.
The best way to lose weight is to get the chronic shits. It just, pounds drop off straight away.
A chronic what?
The chronic shits.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Just shit.
Yeah, don't eat for a week.
No, then your body goes into starvation mode. Anything you eat goes out the other end, and you keep losing weight. So you're not getting anything out of it. That's a bad thing.
Hey, I actually went a week. I was really sick, and I went a week, almost a week, without eating almost anything. I mean, I would eat like the occasional piece of toast because I was so sick.
Yeah.
And I actually lost 30 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it that was a bad time, so yeah, we won't go there.
Oh. Wait. Yeah, like, I don't know, there are some unhealthy ways to lose weight out there. And I bet, like, I don't know, I'm curious now to see, like, what on that open question or montage, whatever you call it now, like, when you're watching all the responses. What the hell do we call them now? I don't even know. Open question responses.
I guess.
Yeah, I know, but I know that's a question, but, like, when you're watching all of them, is it still an open question, or is it a montage open question?
Well, personally, I consider it a montage that originated from an open question. That's me.
Okay. Yeah, we'll just call it that and start playing the montage song in the background. Who knows?
There we go.
But yeah, I want to see the responses to that. Because I think there are a couple of people who are pretty hardcore, female athletes, you know, like cheerleading or ballerina or whatnot, and they have to keep very small. So I want to see what they say. That's what I heard. I don't know.
I'll tell you what they'll say. Chronic shits.
Girls don't poop. Remember that.
Oh, yes, they do. Oh my word.
Don't ruin girls for me. Stop it.
I'll tell you this story. So when we moved, we're in this, we're in the UK, obviously, and we're in the Cotswolds, what they call an area of outstanding natural beauty. Think kind of green rolling hills, quaint little cottages, that kind of thing. And when we first came here, we first visited this tiny little market town that we live in to see whether we wanted to buy a house here. Stick with me.
It's all good, man.
Toilet. And my partner and I both into the toilet. I went into the male toilet, she went to the female toilet, and she came out within about 10 seconds. And a girl had done a shit that looked like a walnut whip on the toilet seat and then left it there.
That is... that's amazing.
Maybe. How did we get onto this from Invisible Question?
I have no idea. Steve, your microphone's kind of messing up.
Transition!
Oh, God. Yeah. Sorry about that, ladies and gents. We kind of got disconnected. Steve's microphone started sounding like a rubber duck. Yeah. Okay, we are back now. Also, with a recent update, maybe about a month ago, now that we're not talking about chronic shits anymore, them bringing back the people tab. Did you guys use it back in beta? Like the people tab to meet new people, or,
For almost everybody that I met initially on this site, I hold Sophie Bohax entirely responsible. I actually came on here looking for, clients, seeing if it was a way that some of our clients could interact with their fans. And just got hooked. I mean, I've been working with the internet since about 95, 96, and I've seen a lot of communities and a lot of sites come and go. And I know I say it in almost every video response, but I'm still surprised by how genuine the community is on VU.
Yeah.
Everybody's supportive. Everybody is encouraging. There's the usual banter, and everybody has a bit of a joke with everybody else, but that's kind of normal and healthy. It's not this kind of great big circle jerk, but at the same time, it's not a lot of people bullying other people or not allowing anybody else in. And so the people that I found and started to interact with were suggestions from people like Sophie, and Matt, Murdick, and people like that. And I would say there are kind of four or five people that they're kind of like hubs.
Yeah.
The community. I would put you in that group, Raf.
Oh,
I'd put Sophie, Matt Murdick, Naeem, Googleberry. You know, people kind of draw themselves around those people. They tend to get a lot of followers, and that's kind of how I found people, kind of organically, rather than like a stalker on the people page.
Yeah, it's not like Facebook, where I don't know if you guys follow fan pages or like fake fan pages of characters within your favorite show or whatever, where they're like, hey, this person's pretty cool, you should follow them, or share me because I'm pretty cool, or like this if you like doing this thing in the morning or whatever, you know, those
right,
guys
right.
Yeah, or like my status. Remember when everybody was doing that? But
press L, see what happens.
I know, right?
Who is that? Like who?
Wait, what?
Well, you said like max status or something?
Oh, so there are some people who are like, hey, like my status if you do this.
Yeah.
Or like my status if you like doing this. You know, the social media ploy that a lot of people do.
yeah, that's really unique about VU, and I have to give him credit for that. It's like, on most social network sites, I remember MySpace being really bad for this. What they call trolling?
Mm-hmm.
And you see a whole bunch of guys just looking for the next girl to try to bang. That's all it was about.
That's not so much trolling, that's just being creepy. trolling is like doing something to ruffle somebody else's feathers in a bad way.
Okay, well, you know, hey, I'm old, so... But, but seriously, I mean, like, it was all about guys trying to find, you know, the next girl kind of thing.
I know. And, I never got a MySpace because of that.
I'm sure you guys know who this person is, Jenna. And mm-hmm. I was talking about it, like, how often do you get trolled for, you know, whatever? And she was like, not as often as you would think on here. Because, like, on other social networking sites, it's constant.
Yeah.
It's bombardment. They said, on VU?
Hang on. Speaking of trolls, I have a telemarketer. Give me just a second.
Oh, I want to hear this.
Bob's Abortion Clinic. You make them, we scrape them. No fetus can beat us. Okay, they hung up on me. Good.
Nice!
Yeah! Another telemarketer down. Okay, for any listeners who don't know me, like, haven't, like, talked to me off of VU, I usually troll telemarketers just so they don't call me again, and it usually works. So, it might be an offensive joke, but it's all harmless, and I don't mean any harm by it. I just don't want them calling me and having to listen through a message just so I can press a button and say, so "Don't put me on your off call. Don't call list." But yeah. Anyway, what?
Oh no! I just got a text. From I subscribed to text from this day in history.
Yeah.
And so I just got one. Today in 1943, hallucinogenic effects were discovered of LSD.
Okay.
I just thought I'd throw it out there.
Okay. Cool. Anyway, so Adam, as you were saying like maybe a few minutes ago, that you found people really organically on VU, like, you know, through people just talking about it, not really using the people tab. I, on one hand, have been doing that since I started VUing, but at the same time, I've been using the people tab trying to increase the number of people I talk to, because the reason I joined VU wasn't, like, to be popular or just try to get internet famous or VU famous. All I wanted to do was just talk to everybody that I could, which is one reason why I started the podcast. You know, just talk with people, see what they're about, see what's up with them. And the people tab allows me to help me do that organically, which when new VU launched, they didn't have it. So I was like, oh, now I have to keep pressing the random profile button over and over to see if anybody's still active. And that could take a long, long time. Cause
yeah,
you might see
before
people.
My time.
Yeah. Cause you could see like people like, who were active on November 2010 and haven't been active since, and you're like, yeah, damn it. But, Steve, did you use the People tab at all, or not really?
To a degree, I did. Actually, I think you found me that way.
Yeah.
And, I use a little bit. What I do now is I actually go through people's profiles
mm-hmm.
and look at their friends and
okay.
see who they connect with.
Yeah, I think I found you, Steve, that way. I kind of look, and if I'm watching a response from someone that I'm following, I'll look through some of the other questions, and if there's an interesting question, I'll watch that person's response to it, but then I'll also go and check out the profile of the person that asked the interesting question. I think that's how I found you, Steve. I think you and Matt Murdick had kind of started developing a banter. And,
I thought you were about to say started a relationship or something. I was like, whoa!
I thought we weren't meant to mention that on air.
We were quite intimate.
I'm sorry. Hush, hush, don't ask, don't tell.
But
Matt, I know you're listening to this, we're sorry.
Sorry, say again?
I just said, Matt, I'm sorry. I know you're listening to this, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's great, though.
Yeah, but,
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he is.
That's a great recommendation for someone to follow.
Oh, Matt TV and music only, yes. And also, Steve, aren't you sometime this week going to be recording the Winterfell podcast with him?
Yes, I plan to jump in on his podcast. The thing is, Matt and I go back to the days when we would podcast about Lost, the TV show.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you guys knew each other before then.
Yeah, well, that's how I found VU. Is I was following him on Twitter, and he kept posting, like, you know, Matt and TV Music Only posted this, Matt TV Music Only posted that. I was like, okay, let me check this out. And I checked it out, and I was like, okay, this sounds like something I could get into. So I checked it out, and I jumped in, and that's how it went. And awesome. So Matt's the one who brought me in.
Matt's fault.
It was all Matt's fault. What a tool he was. He started computing high and then started plugging in the overlord. What?
Matt, he unplugged like left, right, but not in the right way.
The way I found VU was actually through my older sister, who was originally on VU during the beta early days. And she was like, I know you wanted to make YouTube videos for Ask, but you never really knew what to talk about or what to vlog about or whatever. Here, people ask and answer questions, and you could just make videos based on those questions. And I was like, okay, interesting, but I don't think I'll really be into VU, you know? I'll try it out for a few weeks, see what happens. And that was back in February 2011.
Here you are, one of the most active ones.
What?
Well, you're one of the most active people on VU now.
I know. And also, I was like, I don't think I'll be very popular either. I don't think I'll get to know a lot of people. Yeah, bullshit.
And here you are now talking about chronic shits and saucy c***ers. I mean, it's...
Hey, I didn't say saucy c***er on the air, okay?
Transition!
But Adam, how did you find VU? Like, I know Steve and I talked about it, but, how did you find it? Just... I know you wanted to talk with clients and stuff, but... how you started interacting.
I heard about it from the Vlog Brothers.
Okay.
Hank and John... over on YouTube, and like I say, yeah, the first thing that the reason I came over and created an account was to kind of test it out, see if it would be useful for some of our clients.
Okay.
Who are, some of them are, you know, well known either in the UK or further afield, and but I just got hooked. I think you touched on a really interesting point about the fact that when your sister told you about it, you said just now that you felt like, well, people aren't going to be interested in you or your responses or ask you questions. And and that's what I've been most surprised. No, that's what I've been most surprised by with this site is how accepting everybody is and how genuinely interested they are. And I think that's part of that is the whole concept. You know, you can come to someone's profile, you can listen to a few questions. If they're not your cup of tea, you just move on to the next one. There's no need for you to flame them or be nasty to them in any way. You just move on, and then you will find someone that does have something more in common with you or that you do want to talk to, and then you start talking to them. And that is just an amazing tool for making these connections. You know, the world is getting smaller and smaller and smaller as technology gets more and more intelligent. And the ways that we communicate with everybody.
Yeah, definitely.
I agree. I mean, perfect example of that is Jamila, which I know both of you follow.
Yeah, Jamila, the VU, she's not an intern anymore, but she is a community director right now, I think.
She connected with most of us, you know, before she even worked as an intern. And, I mean, I remember she connected with me personally because, you know, she was a fan of Doctor Who, and she was like, hey, Whovian, blah, 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 and the other. So, it's so amazing how that relationship has developed. Now, then she went becoming an intern at VU, and then she actually works there now. She's actually a full-fledged employee, and she works right next door. I mean, well, right next to the same desk as Bijal, who's been working for VU from day one, as far as I know.
Yeah, Bijal, well, since the site launched, because from... Hey.
I'm sorry, that's the sirens around me. I live in Los Angeles, sorry.
Yeah, it happens, I understand. There's an elementary school down the road, so we hear, like, all sorts of things on my end. But anyway,
glad that my dog wasn't howling.
But, anyway...
Back to the squeaky duck again.
Yeah, like, oh god. I was about to say, I met up with Beagle a few weeks ago, a little less than a month ago, along with Googleberry, or Catherine, as I know her. And because she came down to the Atlanta area, we got some coffee and just got to chill. She's actually a pretty cool person face-to-face, as well as, you know, not just her VU profile. So it was really cool getting to meet her, talk with her and her husband. They were all about. Because from what I've seen, I met up with several people from VU. And what I realized is that VU, it doesn't substitute a, you know, sit-down, face-to-face conversation. It doesn't replace, like, even a Skype call with video, but it is the next best thing. You know, making connections through different ways, by interacting back and forth, through asking questions, or just having a conversation, or a banter, as you want to call it. Just being able to talk with people on a fairly genuine level. Like every other community, there's occasionally the bad apple, there's occasionally the person who wants to act like they're different than they really are, or act like an exaggerated version of themselves, but overall, most of the community is fairly genuine on VU, which is what I enjoy.
I think the reason that people are genuine on here is because of how accepting the community is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really, really important, for me anyway, I think that's a really important part of it. Right near the beginning, when I first started using VU, there was, I won't say who it was, but there was a female that I was following, and she was having a really tough time with troll questions. Uh-huh. You know, and she was getting loads of them, and she was responding, she was being very brave, she was responding to them, every single one of them, being very strong and responding back to them, and other people were coming in and giving her support. And I did the same. I sent her a question along the lines of, you know, you don't have to keep on answering them. You can just ignore them. And she, I can't remember exactly how I phrased it, but it was, you know, you are a strong person. You don't need to feel upset by what they're saying to you. And whilst she was saying, you know, in her response to mine, while she was saying, yes, but I want to show them that they're not getting to me or what have you, there was just a flicker in her eyes that just showed how much their attacks were getting to her.
Yeah.
And I felt like something really ought to be done about this. I never liked, in the old version, the ability to send an unverified sender question. Anonymous question, fine, but make us make an account first so that you can block us.
I'll get to it in a second. Anyway.
Yeah, so, but what was great about that, though, you know, there was me kind of thinking, I feel really uneasy about this. And I, over the course of a couple of hours where I was seeing the responses come into this person, I really felt like I don't know if I want to kind of hang around a site that lets this go on. But what was brilliant was seeing all of her followers and other random people coming in to her defense and bolstering her. And you could see with every single question that other people sent to her, she got a little bit more strength, a little bit more kind of self-empowered, more and more and more. And she kind of came through it with everybody helping her. And yeah, that, for me, was like, I've not seen that happen on a community site before. Not that quickly. And I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, there are, like, I'm very familiar with several different communities online, but mostly video game communities, which can be a very, very mixed bag, to say the least. Steve, I remember you mentioned before you played World of Warcraft, there's so many people on there, and, like, it can be
brutal sometimes.
It's horrible, which is one of the reasons why I didn't play it for very long. I played it for like 6 months, and I was like, I hate this. Because
I lost 2 years of my life to that.
Yeah, like, and then there's also, like, other communities, like the fighting game community, which recently had some trouble because of sexism and whatnot. Because there was I don't know if you guys have heard about it, and listeners, I don't know if you have either, of a game called Street Fighter Cross Tekken. It's a fighting game that came out within the past month or so. There was a show on online, Cross Attack, which featured the game itself and people who wanted to really be super competitive about it. And there was one woman, I forgot her name, that was trying to learn combos, controls, and whatnot. And what her male coach started like acting really sexist and really, really offensive to her. And the internet was on an outcry. They all said, hey, why the hell are you acting this way? Why the fuck would you do that to this woman who's just trying to learn the game in a competitive level? And he's like, that's all part of the... he literally said, that's all part of the fighting game community culture. We are supposed to be sexist, otherwise we'll be like StarCraft, which is like an electronic sport in Korea. Oh. Which, oh my you God. Know, yeah, like, and I was just sitting there like, you're trying to label people who play video games, especially like fighting games, as sexist pigs? Really?
Yeah, exactly. That's so horrible.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I'm a fan of StarCraft. I am.
Yeah. Like, and StarCraft, you know, it's in a lot of competitive communities, it's acts like an insult because it's on such a big level in Korea. It's like on the equivalent of soccer or football, whatever you call it in your country, listeners or Adam. but yeah, because you'll see like StarCraft players dating like Korean idols and whatnot, like the pop idols, which are basically celebrities and that sort of thing. Yeah, and, but...
Yeah, games like that, I just say, I would stand on player, to be honest. I've done the online thing, I was like, you know what? I mean, Diablo was fun. On the online. Diablo.
Oh, Diablo? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. You know, what we did was, we did a lot of what's called fail runs, which is, I think, about level 4. Oh, actually, level 5, now I think about it. And we just did, you know, we had somebody who could, like, race through up through the first portion. And then after that, we all did this major battle and just flipped all the treasure and gold and God knows what.
Yeah.
Yeah, beyond that, it was like, okay, whatever, now what?
I know, right? It's a very loot-heavy game. As I was saying about communities, you come across, like, fighting game communities like that in games, and then you come across other communities like Star Wars The Old Republic, the recent Star Wars massive multiplayer online game, kind of like World of Warcraft, where people are genuinely pretty awesome. People, like to talk to each other, help each other out, unlike World of Warcraft, where they'll steal your gold after you, like, try to do something and spend, like, an hour or two on it, and then they're like, nope, I'm gonna take your stuff and your reward. Sorry. Oh, God. And you're like, I did that for 2 hours for nothing. I have to spend another 2 hours doing it. But, yeah, like, in Star Wars The Old Republic, you see people like, yeah, sure, I'll help you out, sure, I'll lend you some in-game money to help you get better gear, or, like, you know, try to get you to meet people, try to find you a guild, which is, like, a group of people, or a hub, as Adam mentioned earlier. Like, it's kind of like a hub in the game. That's kind of what a guild is. In terms of social networks, or as the VU team calls it, a social media site like VU, because they don't think it's a social network. Okay. you genuinely
no, it's
get...
It's just a place where like-minded people connect with one another.
And network, no
using,
problem.
Digital technology, that's not a social network at all.
I know, right?
No, not at all.
But anyway, like...
VU book.
If we start having... Oh, wait, we already have stamps. I was about to say if we start having a like button, I'm going to... But we already have stamps that say, I like this. But yeah, the VU community is one of the better online communities that I've come across, and definitely one of the best, which is what I was trying to get at, in the most long-winded way possible.
Do you know what? I was quite tired, so I think I may have dropped off suddenly in the middle, but I'm back with you now, so it's cool.
Okay, it's cool. Or hot, depends. Puns.
Yeah. Back to we need the duck noises, quick.
Quack, quack, quack.
I still had two ghost notifications. How's that?
Oh. Didn't we already say that? Stupid ghost notifications. Spurgot, I know you're listening to this. GU team, I know you're listening to this. I know you tried fixing it, but we're still having problems, so... sorry if we've been constantly bitching about it in the first half of this, but... Hey, it's a problem.
But...
You know what, I'm really curious how they make money.
Sponsors.
I am. Yeah, but, I mean, there's no ads.
About a year ago, May 2011, I was quoted in this article, that's why I remember it. So was Scotty or Trucker on VU, where we had a podcast talking about, like, VU and whatnot, what it was about, what we were doing. They mentioned that VU now has a budget of, or had a budget of, like, $3 million or so back then, and I'm sure they've gotten more investors in it too, which is probably why they, how they made money, and also, like, people visiting the site and whatnot. And there's also, like, MTV on the site too, and VH1, where they have celebrities talk to people and stuff, and that's what helps get the number of people in and somehow making money. That I think.
Well, I'm not complaining by any means, but I was like, okay, because I remember there was a question posted a while back, and like, you know, how would you feel about ads, you know, kind of thing on the View page, and I know myself and several others said, okay, it's not a big deal as long as you keep them on to the side, or, you know, as long as they're not pop up.
Yeah.
But as long as you keep them on the side, or, you know, put them in the top banner kind of thing, you know, no big deal.
Yeah. I was talking with Steve Spurgot a little while ago. He mentioned something about ads going on people's profiles who usually get a lot of traffic or people interact with a lot. Like, say, the famous people who get, like, half a million, like, people in a day or a week. Onto the site, and each of those famous people on YouTube or whatever, like, gets that number, and people will see ads there, or people who people interact with a lot, or others interact with a lot, like, say, Naeem, they might put, like, an ad on his page playing, or, like, on the side or whatever. So, that's what I heard. I don't know. Still in the rumor mill, still in the planning mill. Sorry, EVU team, if I said too much. Revealing your evil plans to take over the internet. But anyway, Adam, what?
I was just going to say, I mean, at the moment, there's no visible way that VU is being monetized. And that's something that if the team at VU, I'm sure they are concerned with getting that up and running, but their investors will be even more concerned with getting that up and running. The site will need, if it doesn't already, will need to generate revenue in order to keep going. And the investors will be looking to make their return on the whatever the specified dates of the deal are. I don't think they're going to raise a huge amount for advertising alone unless they have a huge volume of traffic. And I haven't seen anywhere any figures, but I suspect they're not at the levels yet that would make a significant deal in terms of generating revenue from advertising, just general display advertising.
Yeah, that's...
But I might be wrong.
That's true.
I think the sponsorship route is probably at this stage slightly more lucrative.
Yeah.
But then you have to build up the traffic in order for the sponsorship to be worth something. So it's a chicken and egg.
Yeah, so far there's a lot of traffic on the site from what I've seen, but at the same time, the traffic are visitors and not constant users, you know.
Right.
We'll still get the guest users and whatnot, basically the evolution of unverified senders. but you'll get a lot of those people coming over. I've interacted with a few because, for some reason, users happen to go onto my page and ask me relationship questions. Usually it's guest users. I guess it's like, because my friends don't want to be logged in when they ask me a question about something they have on their mind. I remember there was, like, a long time where, I think, Steve, you mentioned this before, where I had so many friend zone questions and so many relationship questions from various people, where I was like, oh, wow. Oh my god, shut up! And most of them were just random, not even like people I knew, just a lot of guest users. I don't mind that they ask me, but it's just like, why didn't you just make an account so I could talk back and forth with you? I just don't like this one-sided conversation where I'm talking to a camera and you're not. But hey, it's whatever.
Did either of you get the feet question?
No.
The what question?
The feet questions.
No.
No, those are mostly, like, women and young girls who got questions like that. Like, usually girls in their teenage years or in their 20s who got those.
So in other words, there's just you, Adam.
Do the creep!
Well, I do have my feet, so...
Yeah. Yeah, but...
I was going to make a joke about having a foot and a half, but I couldn't quite word it properly.
What about, like, some of your favorite questions? I know, like, or what's one of the biggest things you guys have noticed, like, people have been talking about a lot on VU? I know it's different on every site, but one of the persistent ones I've noticed is Game of Thrones. I usually get those questions, like, every week. And only until, like, maybe a day or so ago, from when we're recording this, I started watching the series in one sitting.
I love that show.
I have only seen one clip from Game of Thrones. I think it's from Game of Thrones, which involved a man and a woman, and that's about it.
Just a man and a woman on screen, fully clothed. What?
Just a housewife, for all we know.
I've heard so many people say that it's brilliant and I need to check it out, and... I just haven't got around to it, but I mean, if you guys had both seen it, you would both say the same thing, right? That I need to go and see this, yeah?
It's one of the best fantasy series I've seen. It's dark fantasy, and it doesn't follow, like, Tolkien fantasy, like Lord of the Rings, like,
Although he is a fan of Tolkien, the guy who wrote it.
Yeah, but it doesn't follow, like, Tolkien stereotypes, which basically most fantasy, like, books and... series and also lore and stuff like that usually follows it. Like elves and somewhere, and they're usually like the higher, almighty people, and the dwarves are always miners and stuff, and then humans are always the middle of the road people. Now it's like it's mostly just humans. There's a lot of politics in it and stuff like that, which is really super interesting. And there's also a lot of violence in it, which is pretty awesome.
And sex.
Yeah, and sex. That too.
And boobs.
Yeah, one of my sister's gay friends was watching the show, and he was watching Game of Thrones, and he's like, I'm feeling uncomfortable. I'm like, why? Because there are a lot of boobs. I don't like this. And then there was the blowjob scene with a man on another man, and he was like, yay!
I'm a well versed in the whole Game of Thrones thing. In fact, I'm actually going to be playing Liz in the... Matt's podcast, Winterfell, which is a Game of Thrones-oriented podcast.
Yeah.
Saying that later today at about 6 p.m. my time.
Yeah, for any listeners who don't know, we're talking about, and I know we talked about him earlier in the podcast, Matt TV and Music Only. He's on VU, fellow podcaster, been at it a lot more than I have. And he has one on, like, musical concepts, you know, music in general, and then there's also... this Winterfell podcast, which is all about Game of Thrones, the show, and kind of the books. But, yeah.
He's also on VU as well, Matt TV and Music Only.
Yeah,
He's an amazing musician, and he's available for birthdays, bar mitzvahs, funerals, and weddings.
He actually was thinking about
going. You can get him on
555. 555-5555.
Go plug it in. No, it's funny. One time, one of my questions on VU to him was I took the lyrics out of a book for the A Song of Ice and Fire series, which is what Game of Thrones is based on.
Yeah.
I took the lyrics out of a book and said, okay, write me a melody to this. And he took it and he sang it and everything. I was like, okay, yeah, that's the exact way I actually envisioned it.
Awesome. Awesome stuff.
I think of everybody on VU, there are some really, really creative people on VU, but I think of everybody on VU, he works the hardest at his responses. He puts so much effort into them.
He is one of the people who puts a lot of effort in them, into his responses. I used to put a lot of effort in mine, like, back when I only had, like, 50, 60 followers, not, like, 330 or something, I don't know. I used to have follower hiding spots for people around my house. Like, for example, Trucker. I would be like, Trucker, what are you doing playing on my air hockey table? Or, like, Anna, the anomaly on VU. I was like, Anna, what are you doing under my bed? And I'd pull my laptop from under my bed and be like, what are you doing there? And, like, I think there was another user named Araya. She hasn't been active because she hasn't had an internet connection in over a year. I found her under my bed sheets. I'm like, what are you doing here under my bed sheets? Creeper. And that sort of thing. And there was a lot of stuff.
Because saying that you found this girl under your bed sheets isn't creeperish enough.
I know. and then prefacing that with, hey, she hasn't been on the site for a while. I know, right? but this isn't Game of Thrones.
I found a girl under my bed sheet. Oh my god, what a horrible...
what a horrible, horrible thing. But this isn't Game of Thrones. We're not gonna go all creeperish on people. but yeah. Anything else you guys want to mention real quick? Any shout-outs? Whatever?
Well, I'll give a shout-out. I want to give a couple shout-outs. I mean, obviously, Matt, TV Music Only.
Matty Tamo.
Yeah, oh yeah. This guy works his butt off. I mean, on top of it, he stays on top of VU. He has two podcasts. He participates in at least a third that I know of. Yeah. And on top of that, he has a regular gig playing music professionally.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this guy works his butt off.
And it shows in his responses and probably, you know, everywhere else.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, this is a guy that sits down and have fun for himself. That's what I want to know.
I think VU is his sit down and have fun for himself. Same thing with his podcast.
Hopefully.
Yeah, because
and the other one I want to comment on is Cyberdrone. This guy is funny.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a great, great nerd. I mean, you can throw any nerdy thing at him, and he's got a response, and he's got an intelligent one, to where he can sit there and respond and say blah blah blah. He'll go on behind the politics of Star Trek: The Original Series.
Yeah.
I mean, he is so nerdy, but it's great.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I love responding to his questions.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I only started talking to him kind of recently, but Adam, what were you about to say?
I was just going to say, he cracks me up. He really does. He's so funny. He'll be responding to a question that you've given him, and you'll be laughing at the response. And then there's just this one line, or a little look at the camera, or a little facial expression, and it just cracks me up. He's great. He definitely, I would second that recommendation. Cyberdrone, he's definitely
absolutely
worth checking out.
Yeah, indeed. He's pretty awesome.
In a similar vein, in terms of making me laugh, is...
chirp, chirp, chirp.
Oh, God, you can almost hear the cogs whirring around in my brain.
I heard crickets.
He's someone whose name I've completely forgotten. But they're really good. So
they're so funny that I forgot their name.
Yeah, when I remember their name, you should all go and follow them.
Okay.
Okay.
Be sure to send that to me via VU.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Everybody I've had on a podcast, I'd recommend them. Everybody I haven't had on a podcast, anybody I'm following, really, is a legitimate person that I enjoy talking to on a one-on-one basis. Because, like, everybody that follows me or I follow, I try to at least, like, have a few conversations with them one-on-one. And not just, you know, my once every couple months open questions or whatever. You know, that's not my only interaction with people that I follow and whatnot. Because I like, as I said, I like to get to know people. And I like to make connections with people on VU. And that's probably the best part of it. Anyway, Steve, Adam, thank you for joining me on this episode of Viewniverse. And anybody listening out there,
my
like
pleasure.
Indeed. Anyway, to you listening out there,
I'm still stuck on the Sonic ship. But I tell you what, though, I'm not going to say...
Saucy fucker. Okay, any of you saucy fuckers out there, I like your faces, I like your ears, don't throw shit at people, and good night or good morning.
Drop it.
But
are we at our fuck strength, fuck threshold yet?
What?
Are we at our fuck threshold yet?
I don't know. But, Adam, how did you find VU? We've said it. But.
Let me say that bit again. And here you are now, talking about chronic, about how much fun. Let me try that one last time. And here you are now, talking about chronic pooing. And answering questions from the world. It's amazing.
I know. That was not what you said originally, but okay.
Hey, I'll take it.
We haven't reached the cap for cussing. If anything, I'll just bleep out the rest of it. So, so don't worry
chronic
about it. So,
I love it.
Yeah, chronic shits thrown against the wall like monkeys. But anyway,
you don't call them agri-filters.
Oh. Yeah.
Transition!
I don't know if I'm going to be able to profile for quite a while now.
Coming to a theater near you. One man, three women, one desire. Saucy fuckers two, the chronic shits. Rated NC-17. Coming
and
to a VU.
And skipping into milk.
Oh, God.
And that's now right. We will milk it for all it's worth. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. That's...
One man, two balls, one glass of milk. That's donkey time.
Perfect.
In a world. That's what you have to have. In a world where dunking rules, one man... It's no longer Dunkin' Donuts. Only the Munchkins exist. He's stuck with his Krispy Kreme. Now he wants his balls.
God!
Arnold Schwarzenegger is...
Get to the saucy fucker! Do it now!
Get down
into the chronic shit. God.
Exactly.
Indeed.
Pass me a glass of milk. I need to dunk my balls.
Get me a glass of milk. The prince needs to dunk his balls and milk it for all it's worth. Get down!
My balls are too dry. I need milk.
I need to hide from the predator. Mad is not working. God.
Because you don't have balls. Balls of steel.
But
my balls are full enough milk. Get down!
Get down! God. Okay, I'm gonna stop this before it gets out of hand.
Yeah.